Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And tonight, we are just so grateful. We are being joined by Alice Linehan of Texas and Miss Ann Eubanks of Alabama. So we are just so grateful to have these two. But first of all, we want to do what the founders did, which is to invite the one from whom all blessings flow to bless a conversation that it may enlighten and embolden many listening to us today. So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and start us off in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are God. Thank you, Lord, that you are perfect, that your ways are higher than our ways. Thank you for the example that was given to us by your Son when he became man and he gave of himself and he showed us how to live righteously. And Lord, we ask that you equip us tonight to have the words that will bless, open the minds of many hurting parents, hurting families, so that we will know how, Lord, to defend these precious children that you have gifted us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you said to come boldly to your throne of grace. So we ask for grace and mercy. And just as in the beginning of this nation, Lord, you were so good to answer the prayers of humble men. Lord, we humbly ask you for your wisdom, Lord, Heavenly Father, and discernment to be upon us. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, ladies, and thank you, everyone listening. And Miss Ann Eubanks, you're going to love Alice Linehan. And Alice, you're going to love Miss Ann because you have the same mindset. You love these children, and you are willing to fight and do whatever it takes.
Right.
Absolutely. How are you doing? Absolutely. Oh, goodness. Well, let me go ahead and say a little bit, I guess, first about Alice. Or if you don't mind, Alice, tell us what you want us to know about you.
Well, I've been going around the state talking, and it's funny because when I introduce myself, I say that I'm a mom of three wonderful children. I've been married for almost 20 years, and I have two ethics charges filed against me. And so Everyone says, what do you have ethics charges filed against you for? And they've both been rejected, I'm glad to say, by the Texas Ethics Commission. But with the organizing that's been going on across the state of Texas, there's some people in powerful positions, like on the State Board of Education, and Thomas Ratliff, who is an elected official on the State Board of Education and a paid lobbyist with Microsoft, is the one who filed the ethics charges. And he charged that with all of the organizing that we're doing, we should be registered as paid lobbyists. And but you have to be paid to be a lobbyyist.
Exactly.
We're not. I'm just a ticked off mom who is, you know, waking up every day to protect my children. And so I work with two organizations. One is Women on the Wall, and we have started a Can I See program where we're calling on parents, grandparents, taxpayers, and aunts and uncles to go into the schools, private, public, and charter, and say, can I see three things? Can I see what you're teaching my child? Can I see how you're teaching my child? I want to see the professional development of the teachers and the teacher manuals. And I want to see, can I see who's financially benefiting from the curriculum products that my child's teacher is being evaluated on? So we're going across the state and into other states and helping folks put together a battle plan on the ground to go into the schools and ask these questions. And then I have an organization called Voices Empower, EMPOWER.com, which is mainly just my site that I blog on and get information out on. So that's me.
Wow. And so, Alice, you are so very busy. So I'm so very grateful that you've come on. Well, Ms. Ann Eubanks, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself, what you would like for people to know about you?
Well, I'm a grandmother. I have two grandchildren, one's 20 and one's 7. I've been married to the same guy for 46 years. He's put up with me for that length of time. I am the legislative chair for the Rainy Day Patriots here in Alabama. We are the big Tea Party in the center of the state, a member of the Alabama Legislative Watchdogs, who go into Montgomery, into the state house, every week at least 2 days, sometimes all 3 days that they're in session, to keep up with what they're doing and what we don't want them to do. And, Alice, I've actually had a lobbyist tell me, you know, you need to get paid for what you're doing. Because we work so hard he asked me one day, he said, who's paying you? I said, nobody pays me. He said, you need to be. So, and I'm a member of the Albanians United for Excellence in Education, which is AUEE. So we're really busy down here beating up on Common Core. I saw earlier where Scott Beeson said that if the governor calls a special session in Alabama, he needs to add Common Core to it. So maybe we have another chance.
Great.
Wow.
Great.
That would be a miracle right there. Well, yes. You know, yes, for the folks that's listening to these two ladies and what they decided, you know, you think, well, my goodness, what do these two have in common? It's a love for the children to the point that, you know, they don't have to be paid to do the right thing. Isn't that sad that you have to be paid to even, well, I'm sorry, we're paying our legislators to do the wrong things. What am I saying?
Exactly.
Not all of them, but, you know, it's so sad because we're supposed to be in conservative states, but this is the problem with Common Core, isn't it? It's really about changing values. And, you know, I saw a video by Peg Luxick, and pretty much I think what she was saying is, you know, we get special attention. If you're a conservative state, you're going to have some customization in your testing assessments. And really, it doesn't matter if you don't want Common Core, right, Alice? You're still going to get it.
Right. And that's really what I tell people. The Common Core is not about a set of national standards. Common Core is about a philosophy of education and a way that our teachers are being trained to teach, and they're being controlled by assessments and really these curriculum products that are taking the classroom out of their hands and putting it in the hands of people that are making money off of it. It's a very scary time, I think, for our children, and it is. It's a complete federal takeover of our education system, just like the healthcare system, just like in the military. They're trying to weed out the veterans, you know, the veteran military folks and bring in these young guys that, you know, don't have that same value of American exceptionalism. And that's a scary thing. And it's going to take all of us stepping up and asking the questions and taking back our local schools, our local communities, and building coalitions with those teachers, those good veteran teachers and teachers that know what's happening, and give them their classrooms back.
Well, I remember, Alice, when we talked to Charlotte Iserby, we talked to Charlotte Iserby, who is like the grand dame of this movement. She's been at the very inception warning people what's going on. But her point was, you know, it's really about taking away that local control, getting rid of your elected school boards, and that's what's so bad about charter schools. But in Texas, where they weren't supposed to have Common Core, Alice, what y'all found out is, you know, these universities, unfortunately, when you turn to the university to get some good standards, what happened? What did you find out with these large universities?
Well, what happens is you have the progressives who have taken over the system. And, you know, it's been very interesting over the last few months. I've been working, really trying to piece together, and we have a Women on the Wall has a Wednesday night conference call, and those conference calls have been just invaluable because we've had people like Donna Gardner who've been involved from the beginning and knows who all the players are, so that we can keep asking the questions over and over again to where you finally start seeing the big picture and connecting the dots. And what's interesting is Texas had the original college and career ready standards that were, as Donna calls them, your type one traditional foundational standards that we had a core group of conservatives on the State Board of Education that fought really hard to write our Texas TEKS and make them strong, traditional, foundational, type 1 standards. What happened, and then you had the stimulus package and then the race to the top and this offer to all 50 states for the race to the top. Texas said no because our former chairman of education, Robert Scott, had worked so hard with folks to create our own strong Type 1 college and career-ready standards. We said no. What we have done, though, is we just passed in Texas HB 5, which puts five pathways to graduation, and these pathways to graduation are decided at the end of a child's eighth grade year. I don't know who knows what they're going to be when they're in eighth grade, but it's crazy. And they're based on assessments. And just as Dr. Peg Lessig has warned about, they dumbed down the system. So they took our solid college and career-ready Type 1 standards and they just transformed them into college into the Common Core standards. We got rid of Algebra 2, English 3, World Geography. They just implemented the Common Core standards. They just call it HB 5 College and Career-Ready. And it was authored by a Republican. It was authored by Republicans. And what is interesting is I was at South by Southwest EDU. South by Southwest is this huge technology, music conference in Texas every year in Austin. Well, now they have South by Southwest EDU. And the keynote speaker was none other than Wendy Davis. And, you know, they have – actually, they don't call them keynote speakers. They call them thought leaders. And so Wendy Davis was a thought leader along with people like David Coleman. And, yes. So
in Texas? What's wrong with Texas?
Yes, yes. So listen to this. I'm sitting in a panel discussion listening to former chairman of education, Robert Scott, talk about the our college and career ready standards and how great they were and why he and Governor Perry didn't go with the Common Core standards. It was a great conversation, and he said, you know, but now they've just, you know, obliterated that basically with HB 5. Then I walk into the next panel discussion, and none other than Thomas Ratliff and Jimmy Don Acock, who was the state representative who was the author of HB 5, and TAMSA, these women who had formed this grassroots supposedly non-funded organization who was very well-funded, and they were on this panel discussion talking about how they were so proud of the organizing that they did to get HB 5 passed. So it was such a, it was so disheartening, I should say, because what these people were doing, Jimmy Don Acock, who's got an R by his name, Ratliff, who's got an R by his name, are with these women that are had started this organization, and this is interesting because the name of the organization is Texans Advocating for Meaningful Student Assessment. They've been described as a mom pack of grassroots organizers who pushed, and they were trying to get rid of the testing in Texas, the STAR testing and the assessments, using that whole narrative of, you know, opt out of the test, get out of the test. But the work that had been done by former chairman of education, Robert Scott, and Donna Garner and all those folks, they had worked to where our Texas assessments, that STAR test, was the only way to show if schools were teaching with these new Texas TEKS that were your type 1 foundational. So you had this organization that came, that organized, and they're using the narrative of the national, get rid of the test. But what they're doing, and there's a great article that my friend Meryl Hope wrote in, she writes for Breitbart now. It was interesting because at the end of the panel discussion, they were asked what is their plan for the next legislative session. And I just want to read the last paragraph. She says, currently TAMSA, lists among their latest plank of action, opting out of Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills TEKS aligned STAR testing, but not necessarily in the grassroots spirit of teaching to the test. Rather, their goal is to replace the Texas exams with the nationally recognized test, aka the Common Core Assessment, in third grade through eighth grade. That's right. It's right on their website. And the Republicans authored the legislation, and these women donate to people like Wendy Davis. So it is such, it's so frustrating to see the illusion that Texas doesn't have Common Core, when in Texas we know that Common Core is just flooding in to our schools. And it's just like, you know, what Mike Huckabee would describe as rebranding. Just call it something different, but it's all about the philosophy of education, the dumbing down of our standards down to the lowest standard, to the floor, instead of at the highest, the ceiling, as Dr. Peg Lessig says.
Well, Alice, let me ask you, did you say that this is something they're going to try to pass in the next legislative session, or did you say
no,
it's already
passed?
No,
they just passed it. It's already passed.
Oh, so it's already passed. Yep. So the testing that's going to happen at the end of this year, what kind of test assessment
well,
is going
right,
to be rolled out?
Right. Yeah, no, we still have the STAR test. We still have the STAR test here. So they're wanting to replace the STAR test with the national assessments next legislative session. So
next.
They've
so,
gotten,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got,
okay,
we've got a battle on our hands. My whole goal is just to expose the corruption. And that's why I think that this Can I See program is so instrumental. Because I think if parents and grandparents will just go into the schools and say, can I see what you're teaching my child, they're going to see. They're already seeing. You know, Texas used to own the country when it came to textbooks because we were the largest purchaser of textbooks. And so whatever happened in Texas is the way the rest of the way the country went. Well, what happened is not this last session, but the session before, they passed, I think it was HB 6, that said that our permanent education fund, which was the fund that purchased textbooks in the state, it could now be used for online curriculum. That's when they brought in C-Scope. Yes. That's when they brought in C-Scope. Well, now, because everything's online and and Texas is no longer the largest purchaser of textbooks, and because a lot of these curriculum management systems, curriculum products can be sold directly to the school districts, there's no need. They go right around the State Board of Education and any oversight. And so it's the publishing companies, i.e. Pearson, are everything's aligned to the Common Core. It's all aligned to the Common Core. So all of the products that Texas school districts are purchasing, all of the online products, all everything is aligned to the Common Core. So even in a state where you don't have it, supposedly, you don't have those national assessments, they're still Meryl makes, she has a great analogy. She said, if you come and play in my sandbox and you bring your own sand and I bring my own sand and we're all playing in the sandbox, it's all going to get mixed up anyway. And we won't be able to tell the difference. That's what they're doing. It's not about a set of national standards. It's about a federal takeover of the curriculum product. Anything that is out there for purchase by school districts is aligned to the Common Core. So even if you pass legislation that says no Common Core national standards, you're still going to get it because it's not about the standards. It's about the product.
There you go. Everything is Common Core aligned. It's the only product you're going to get. It's got to be Common Core. Miss Ann?
This is 5 years ago, Pearson started buying every textbook company they could find, every publishing company. They bought data companies. They even bought a biometric company. They have almost a monopoly in the United States, and the federal government has been paying them not only to do the textbooks for Common Core, but to do the tests, the assessments, are coming from Pearson. And the head of Pearson, Michael Barber, is a communist, a UN, UNESCO contracted globalist, one world, and he worked in Pakistan for 15 years for their educational ministry. It's not something that we don't know what's going on. It is definitely step by step. And like you said, you can't buy any kind of material that doesn't come through them.
And it just troubles me because when you say that it's a monopoly, and we know that, Bill Gates got in trouble before. He got, just a little slap on the wrist. And Alice, you wonder at why is there no hearing whatsoever in our Congress, because really, I think if they wanted to, they could connect the dots. Right.
Well, let me tell you what's going on in Congress. There's a Senate bill, 1094, and it's called the Strengthening America School Act of 2013. It was put forth by Senator Tom Harkin in October last year, and it basically sets up a national school board. All control of your child's education will be gone if this bill passes. It adds 150 new reporting requirements for teacher evaluations, learning goals, curriculum standards, standardized testing, annual reporting. It forces implementation of Common Core. It is with the passage of this bill, participation and implementation of Common Core will be required, and it puts every single major decision on American education policy in D.C. So
has it already passed the Senate, Ms. Ann? I know I've heard about that too, but it didn't pass. So.
It has not passed.
That's the horrible nightmare bill. That's a nightmare scenario bill.
Yeah.
I remember that. Well, I guess I wanted to go around now to the opt-out form, Alice, and I, you know, we mailed you a copy of an opt-out form, and, you know, something that Charlotte Iserby had mentioned, Ms. Ann Eubanks, is that PPRA, which, you know, a lot of us have heard about the FERPA, which, you know, it's been gutted, which means it really, there's no protection anymore on the privacy rights, on the data. The children's data, there's no protection. They can sell it to whoever wants to knock at their door and say, I have need
right.
of it. So the only thing we have that Charlotte Iserby kept warning is about the PPRA, which oddly enough is in every student handbook, and I would dare say, Alice, it's in all the states because it's a federal law.
Right.
We have seen it all
now,
over the state of Alabama.
Now, what I'm hearing is that while it gives parents the right to see and to question, it doesn't necessarily opt them out. The parents can see the assessments, but that's the thing. You have to know to go in there and say, can I see? Because like in Texas, it's still, by law, you can't opt out of the state assessment. So I think and I've sent it on to some folks to get some more clarification, but that's what I'm hearing, that it is tethered to the FERPA, and it may not give us what we need. But
I think that's a good one to study.
That may be
yeah.
wrong. It may be wrong.
Yeah. So I think part of it is, like you said, it is tied, but I think the only part that's tied to the, because, you know, there's some data protection on the PPRA,
right.
It sounds a little bit like data, but I think that's the part that they're talking about is tied to the FERPA, which means you have no data protection. But it's interesting that in Texas, y'all don't have a problem seeing, because Ms. Ann, here in our state, what is it that they tell us? We cannot see, right?
Right. That's right. Unless
wow.
we change
so,
it. Well, you know, this PPRA, I've read it earlier today, actually protects the questions to gain the data from the student. So if they're taking one of those assessments that has those questions, such as my first grader brought home her day-to-day book, and in it said, don't forget to collect your family data. What is your family's favorite color? And I went, whoa, wait, this is not allowed. Because
right.
her daddy is an attorney, and he signed that, you know, he said, my child is not going to be asked for family data.
Right.
So, and if they're having activities involving collection and disclosure or use of personal information, you know, you have the right to opt out of that. And I think
right.
because these assessments ask those kinds of questions, that's going to be a loophole. Because
right.
I've seen some of the assessments, and it asks personal questions that should
right.
not be asked.
Yeah. I was told today about an advanced ed survey. Oh, go ahead, Al. I'll tell you in a moment.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, I just Well, I think that this is going to be one of those things that we just need parents to get in there and do exactly what you're saying and push the envelope. And you know, you start a trend, you start a movement, and then it can't be stopped, and then it's going to be litigated at some point. And that's really what we need to happen. We need to have this stuff. We need to have parents who are willing to take it to the next level.
Well, in our state, Alice, oddly enough, they have put a protection barrier over our state superintendent. They just passed a bill in this session that he cannot be sued. Now, the state board can, state board members can, and the local school boards cannot be sued. So if you're going to sue anybody, it will have to be the state board of education, but not the superintendent now. Don't touch the superintendent. So,
wow.
You know, how timely is this, right? And you just, you know, when people hear that, they get so sick of these legislators because you can see the writing on the wall. They're protecting him. And
right.
It's heartbreaking. Where are the parents? But now I did have someone tell me today, which was very interesting, and it sounded great because I know I've seen it before in one of the opt-out forms. And I think it was a California, which is citing the constitutional law. And pretty much what this one person said was backing that up, which is saying, you know, unless you're beating the child up, you can pretty much do anything, which means you can opt them out. So, you know, he says, you know, parents really have a lot more rights than, you know,
right.
we're being told we have. And so these people, these parents, they're going to opt out their child, but they're getting a pushback because the school is saying if the child is present, the child must take the test. But yet they're not willing to cite the law.
Right. Right.
So I think this PPRA is really going to be very interesting, and I almost wish, I think we need to have Charlotte back on and explain to me how did they, you know, because she said that's what they used the last time. And it's really values manipulation is what these assessments are, as what you're saying. And people get confused because when they look at the opt-out form, Ms. Ann, they're used to seeing the word test, right? They're looking
right.
for something that says you can opt out of the test. Well, they're not seeing it out of this PPRA. But then, am I crazy? These are not really tests. They are analysis.
No.
They're surveys.
Right. There's a difference between when we were in, I was in St. Louis at the Constitutional Coalition Education Policy Conference, and it was very interesting because Donna Hearn explained the difference between a test and an assessment. A test is you're questioned on what you know, right and wrong, what you know. An assessment is assessing where you're at. And there's a difference. And so, and it's more subjective. An assessment is subjective, where a test is what you know. It's objective. And so I think you're exactly right. And it's interesting because you have a lot of these technology companies that are partnering with different state entities like Texas. You have the TEA, the Texas Education Agency, and they kind of oversee all of our school districts. And they're partnering now that we have these college and career-ready standards. Now kids are put into these computer systems, and then they're supposed to fill out a whole student profile that has their name, their address, their student ID, two IDs, their state ID and their student ID. And then they're surveyed. So what, and it's not just, you know, where do you want to be a doctor? Do you want to be a lawyer? Do you want to be a chef? It's not those kind of things. It's, well, do you want to go to a liberal college or a conservative college? What's your
right.
religious affiliation?
Right.
Yeah.
Those kinds of questions should not be asked.
Should not be asked. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I think we're just going to have to keep pushing the envelope. And what's happening here in Texas, we've got these bonds, oh my gosh, hundreds of millions of dollars in bonds. In our little school district, we just have a small little $45 million bond. But $2 million of it is to purchase laptops for all of the high school students. Mm-hmm. Well,
we
if they're
just
on
defeated,
laptops.
Yeah, we just defeated $100 million, but Alabama educational bond debt is $2.8 billion. With a B. Since 2009, we have had $2.8 billion worth of educational bonds sold to fund the implementation of Common Core here in Alabama.
Right. That's what they're doing. They just don't call
Everybody's got to get an iPad. Let me mention this, Alice, and go into what's in the iPads, but let me tell you what was seen in some of the tests. Well, here's two questions. Would you rather go to school, get stung by a wasp, or do chores? Number two, how happy are you with your parents' job? And this is one of those advanced ed. And if you look at advanced ed, I looked at this a while back, ADVANC and then capital ED. They pride themselves, from what I remember, what struck me the most was they pride themselves on as a source of information with just one button. I mean, you know, a source of information with just a one click, like a one-stop shop, one-click shop for information on the children. And they break themselves up in regional states. Alabama, I think, is in the southeast region with Georgia. But, you know, these are the test questions that were seen, and it was the children saw on the computer said advanced ed. And, you know, the parent wasn't asked for authorization so that the child can answer questions like that. So, really, that is, it sounds to me like a great case for a class action lawsuit right there.
Right. Okay. I agree. And that's what's going to have to happen, is we're just going to have lawsuits, and it's going to get litigated, and it's going to get tough, but we've got to go down that road, and we've got to take these people on in a very public way, in a very grassroots way, from real everyday people. And that's why I think it is so important, you know, your show, these state-by-state, you know, teams of people who are fighting the battle, and then we're connecting, you know, state to state. But you've got to have local people who are creating content to share the stories of what's happening locally. I tell people all the time, I can write a blog post, I can put out information, but your friends and neighbors don't know and love me, they know and love you. And so if you're putting out information, if you're creating content, if you're following people who are, you know, creating radio shows and pushing out information, that is going to be more powerful to your friends and neighbors than anything else, because they don't know who I am, you know. And that's, I think it's got to be a true, and that's what it's already been. I mean, if you think of where we were a year ago,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
God is good. He is working
Alice,
every day.
Tell us what's in the iPads, if you don't mind, before I forget. I'm sorry, Ms. Ann. Go ahead, and we'll get Alice, too. Just don't forget to let us know what's in the iPads that you was able to see, rather, Alice. Go ahead, Ms. Ann.
No, go ahead, Alice. I was just going to talk about the national opt-out form we're going to try to do.
Well, and I'll tell you that the iPads, it's interesting because you can have one or two scenarios happen. We had a very large school district here that gave iPads to all the kids, and it was just like giving them candy, you know. They weren't doing reading and math and that kind of thing on the iPads. They were actually accessing porn. There weren't enough lockdowns on the iPads. So it was just an open season for these kids. Then you have the opposite thing that can happen to where they're so locked down, but then the kids hack into them and then break through the systems. So it's a very – and it's not – when you think of a child – especially in elementary school, it's crazy that we think that we should be giving them iPads instead of holding on to a good book and learning what it means to sit down and be patient and to read a good story. You're not going to get that from an iPad.
Yeah.
And in what we're doing to these children, we're harming them. It is so, it's just so dangerous. And they're not learning the fundamentals of just how to read. It's crazy. It's crazy.
It is crazy, Alice. They're going to be easily controlled. Go ahead, Ms. Ann. You were saying something about an opt-out.
Yeah, you know, we were talking last night about this Operation Halt Common Core, and there's a national opt-out and refuse the test campaign. It's presented by SayNoToCommonCore.com and Common Core Critics. It gives you the refusal guide, tells you everything you can do state by state. And I have to give a speech tomorrow night in Oxford, and I have already made a PowerPoint to present this refusal guide and testing opt-out to every person at that gathering. And we're going to try to start this now because our testing doesn't begin until September. So we have from now until September to get that out in Alabama and see what we can do with it. May or may not work, because it's about 10 pages long about what you need to do, what you need to say. It gives you the procedures. You have to be adamant in your resolve to exempt your child. It includes some seeking legal assistance, seeking police protection if your child meets with verbal or physical force, organizing and attending regular meetings, and contacting any of the opt-out administrators for additional support or information. This is really good thing stuff, and it's presented by SayNoToCommonCore.com. Gives you a sample.
New York has been really great. New York has really done a great job. And Alice, Mark was on the other night, you know, when they had their the start of their opt-out movement. And he was citing some huge number, 60,000.
Wow.
I think once these assessments begin in Alabama, you'll see that because we all need to get together and have this ready because it's not going to be an easy,
I think we need some help, too, with some of our leaders that supposedly anti-Common Core, Ms. Ann, because from what I'm hearing already, they are just, I think they're learning from all the other states. I hate it. They're like a disease, like a cancer, you know, that knows how to fight. They just grow in strength. So they're learning. It's kind of like I see that with Alabama because I think this procedure now where they passed a bill to protect the superintendent from being sued, you know, that's another layer of protection. They're learning. They're learning. And now they're protecting the county school board, so you can no longer sue the county school boards, which would have been great. You know, would have been great. But so they're learning.
You can say and you can't sue somebody, but you can sue anybody you want to. Now, as far as the superintendent, you know, he's hired. He is actually a state employee. He does what the state board supposedly tells him to do. It just so happens in Alabama that Tommy Bice has a lot of power and sway over the school board. And instead of them telling him what he's going to do, he tells them what he's going to do, and they need to pass it.
I think they find a point man in every state. It's what it sounds
exactly.
like. It's like they found a point man in Texas, and, you know, they found that in New York. But I think because of the election coming out, Alice, what are you hearing from parents in Texas? I know we're hearing murmurings here, Ms. Ann, you know, we're hearing that. This election, I think people are going to get a surprise as the more parents find out about Common Core. The Common Core is going to play a key role.
Oh, yeah. We put up a Rainy Day Patriot up against Del Marsh, the Senate pro tem, who kept Common Core from coming to the floor for two straight years. And we had the votes to get it out, and he refused to allow it to come to a vote. Well, we put up one of our people against him, and it's going to be a very close race. We did a poll here where 85% of the voters are fed up with the incumbent here in Alabama. 85%. And Common Core has a lot to do with that. I kept telling them all year, it will be the number one election issue. And if you're on the wrong side, you may very well have a fight on your hands that you think you're going to be easily returned to office. That may not
right.
be the case.
That's exactly right. How's that playing out in the governor's race and other races that, I mean, what are people saying in Texas, Alice?
Well, I think that we've got, we're in a runoff right now, but with the, not the governor's race, it's pretty much Greg Abbott. And then he'll be taking on Wendy Davis. The big one to watch is the lieutenant governor's race between David Dewhurst and Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick is the one who's got it's kind of split within the grassroots and the Tea Party and the conservative movement. He's got a lot of conservatives behind him, but then David Dewhurst has, you know, your Eagle Forum conservatives with David Dewhurst. I'm strongly for David Dewhurst. And so it's going to be a real interesting battle. But I believe that the key issue is going to be this Common Core. And Dan Patrick sponsored HB5. The bill that I was telling you about that dumbed down the standards, that was sponsored by Senator Dan Patrick, who's running for the lieutenant governor. So that's what I am trying to get the information out to people so that they understand what he did. He brought in the Common Core in the back door. Now, granted, all of them, HB5 was passed overwhelmingly in the House and the Senate, and signed by Governor Perry. So they are all, you know, they all had their hands on it. But they were, you know, sold a bill of goods. They were, and I fault them for that, because we had many conversations where Donna Garner was warning them day in and day out, don't do this, don't do this, this is Common Core. So we will see. That race is on May 27th. So we will know on May 27th.
Alice, do y'all have charter schools in Texas, Alice?
Oh, yes, yes. And see, it's interesting because Emmett McGroarty with the American Principles Project made a great point. He said that, you know, Republicans have been negligent on the issue of education because all they talk about is school choice, school choice, school choice in charter schools, and they never talk about what's actually being taught in the schools. And that's where the federal takeover is. It's on the curriculum. And we have to be very careful with this opt-out movement, too, to understand there's a lot of people pushing the opt-out and the Common Core who are liberals and not necessarily on the same they're progressives who are not on the same side with us because they don't mind the curriculum. They just don't want the assessments. They don't want the oversight or the evaluation tied to the teachers. But they don't mind the progressive curriculum. So we need to understand that's why I think that to get parents in to understand what this is, that it is not about a test, it's not about a set of standards, it's about a philosophy of education, and every curriculum product out there that the teachers have access to is aligned with this philosophy of education. And so
it's all about the money, too.
Because right,
I have to tell you, every person, every player that has to deal with Common Core, David Coleman, Jason Zimba, Bill Gates, mm-hmm. Arnie Duncan, all of them are tied to charter schools. Jeb Bush, the Walton Foundation, Annenberg Foundation, I can just name them right down the list. They were all involved in developing and implementing Common Core, and they all have ties to charter schools. Now, isn't that peculiar?
Right. Right.
And it's so sad because Alice, as you know, Merrill keeps reminding us. Merrill, who had to move from California to, you know, Texas, you know, one of the things that Merrill tries to wake everybody up is, you know, every charter school in California, and there are many with great intentions, you know, are now Common
right.
Core aligned. So anybody
that's
that
right.
thinks that's not going to happen is delusional because the facts are out, you know, it happens in a matter of years. So we don't need to go down that road.
Well, you'll be seeing it next year in Alabama. The Accountability Act was step number one. They had an amendment to the Accountability Act this year that didn't make it because Del Mar shut down the session early. That'll be brought back. Their big word right now is school choice. We need more
yep.
school choice. Well, that's fine, but who's going to run it? Who's going to be the oversight? What are they going to
mm-hmm.
teach? Bill Gates has made the comment that for every $30 million he puts in a charter school, he gets back $43 million worth of taxpayer money.
Mm.
Student
wow.
taxpayer, student money from the taxpayer.
Mm.
So
mm.
they're all getting rich on charter schools if they know how to run it. Jeb Bush is getting rich off of charter schools.
And that's
right.
why he won't give up. Well, the good thing about on our side is truth is on our side. And I think the more parents find out and listen to what you just said, Ms. Ann, I mean, you can't help but get sick when you hear the amount of money. And Alice, you know, you can't help but get sick when you hear how hard Texas tried not to be underneath. But then this is why every parent really, you're the best defender of your child. You're going to have to do your homework.
Right.
You're going to have to get on board, and you've got to listen. You've got to understand because nobody else will be able to defend that child like you. So we need for you to wake up, and we're so
right.
glad, Alice, you know, you'll come back on. I want you to come back on. You know, you haven't been on for a while. I know you've been so busy, and it's been crazy over here, too, but as you said, you know, it is the knowledge now is ratcheting up. More people are aware. And I think the bottom line is it's going to be a tsunami And I think it's going to be powerful. God is, you know, God is a God of truth. And that is the key. But we do, like you said, we have to share it with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family. And we have come a long way. but we still have to wake up a lot more. So with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and close it. Alice, would you mind sharing your websites? Because Miss Anne, she has got it down pat. We really need to be learning the way Alice has went and rose up in the grassroots with Voices in Power and Women on the Wall. It's been incredible rise, and it's making a difference. It is the voice in Texas to the point that, you know, they're going to prosecute her. She's a mom. She's not paid. She's doing this because she's got a big heart.
I have to tell you, my son-in-law, who's an attorney, every time I leave town to go do one of these seminars or speeches, he'll say, you got my card now. Call me if you need me.
Wow, that helps a lot.
Right.
Well, Alice, if you don't mind, share your website, and then Miss Anne, if you don't mind, share y'all's website too.
Okay.
Great. Ours is Women on the Wall, womenonthewall.org, O-R-G, and then Voices Empower, empower.com.
Okay. Well, we have rainydaypatriots.org and Alabama Legislative Watchdogs.org and AUEE.org. There's a lot of them.
Well, Ms. Anne, I hope you're going to be posting that information that you found out, that opt-out information on y'all's website. Are you going to be videotaping, videotaped? Okay. We want to see it.
I will get that set up for tomorrow night and see if we can videotape it and put it on there because it needs to get out.
Yeah, we need it because it's that time of the year. And, you know, the sad thing to me is when you hear the licensed clinical social worker of New York talking about the harm done to children, when over 500 mental health experts, early educators try to tell the developers of Common Core that this will cause harm, and yet they were ignored. I mean, this really is a case for, you know, there should be a national lawsuit. I mean, you should do no harm. But yet, this is very harmful, and you can connect the dots. These mental health experts say we will not have any problem connecting the dots. What a shame that, you know, we even have to point it out. But this is where we're at when money is king.
That's right.
And unfortunately, in a lot of leaders,
all about the money.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to let you go.
Wonderfully. Okay.
Well, Alice, do you mind closing us in prayer?
Not at all. Lord, we just come to you in praise and thanksgiving for the incredible opportunity to spend time tonight together, finding out information so that we can take it back to our own local area and share that information and connect the dots and give other parents out there and grandparents the encouragement they need to step out and take action and let this movement for righteousness and your glory and your name be lifted up. And, Lord, we ask you to continue to watch over us. Give us the discernment that we need to fight the battle. Lord, we ask you to watch over our families as we take on this battle and be with them, because it is hard to be out in the trenches day in and day out. And we ask you to watch over us and give us courage and give us peace of heart in knowing that we are doing it for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Anne. Thank you, Allison.
You're welcome.
And, Alice, have you written a blog already about what you found in those iPads?
We will be. We're working on that right now. So as soon as I get all that out, we'll send it your way.
Okay. Thank you very much. And we'll be talking to you again. And you too, Ms. Anne. God bless you both and listeners. Oh, please tell others to listen to the podcast. Go to cityonthehill.tv. May God bless you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.